And now something completely different.
Good afternoon. I'm speaking to you live just outside Los Angeles.
I like to think balding is just God's way of saying, now let's see you get laid.
Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it?
What I'd really like to do is put the greatness of this man in perspective.
The hair loss community has a lot to be thankful for, having you as a spokesperson.
You mean you just call this guy up?
About life and about reality.
And now, America's number one reality radio show for men. Live from Los Angeles, it's Spencer Coburn's The Bald Truth.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. 888-659-3727. Great to be here. Live doing the hair loss show. I'm Spencer Coburn, and it's Tuesday night. And every Tuesday night, well, not every Tuesday night, but most Tuesday nights, we are here doing The Bald Truth. And if you're new to the broadcast, don't know who I am, why I'm here, and why I'm kind of fiddling around with everything. There's a lot of things going on, as usual, in the studio. I'm a consumer advocate for men and women dealing with hair loss. I am the author of The Bald Truth and The Truth About Women's Hair Loss. I am the founder of the American Hair Loss Association. And I'm a guy who has been dealing with hair loss for about 30 years. Now, if you're tuning in and actually watching the show and you're like, oh, wait a second, this guy looks like he has hair in his head. Like I say this every week, it is a partial. Now that you laughed and I had you potted up, I have to bring you on board. It's a partial shambooey. Partial. That's a tough word for me, man. I've been lucky enough to save the vast majority or a good amount of my hair using FDA-approved medication. I paint the back of my bald spot. I have a ton of hairspray. But I am 51 years old. I started losing my hair when I was 21. So all I can say is I feel extremely fortunate. I really do. And Joe, by the way, did someone coordinate our outfits tonight? What the fuck is going on here?
I don't know. I thought, you know, I'm tired of wearing black. And it's warm out, so it's like, I'm like short sleeve.
Yeah,
shirt.
I wear white all the time. I'm like, you know what? I'll change it up and I'll wear short sleeves. I wear white or blue.
Yeah, I usually wear black. I'm usually the Johnny Cash of the duo here.
Well, Scotch and soda, by the way, guys. Cheers.
Sapporo. Cheers.
Cheers. So, you know, look, we are here. Obviously, I had to pot Joe up because I had him potted up, which I shouldn't have for my opening because he can't help but laugh at my shit. But anyway, Joe Tillman live in our TV's two. Dude, what? It's happening again.
I didn't laugh. It wasn't me.
No, I started drinking early and I can't speak. Live in our studios in Vancouver.
Yes.
It's Joe Tillman, the original hair transplant mentor. Welcome, Joe. How are you?
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Now I'm trying to get this. I guess I have to share this feed from GFQ over to my personal feed so that people can see the program via Facebook. And for some reason, I'm unable to do that. Let's see. Let me give this a shot. Guys, bear with me because I want my Facebook guys to check this out. We have a grand total of three people on GFQ's Facebook page, which I think is pretty good, actually.
Sorry, I just lost my connection there for a second. I missed the last 5 seconds.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that.
Dude, you missed a lot. Good night.
Good night.
Guys, let me give out the phone number. It's 888-659-3727. Look, rocky start to the show, but, you know, we are the hair loss guys. Again, been doing this for a very long time, been on the air for well over, let's see, 1998. So what is it, 18 years in some form or another. Obviously started on radio because that was the medium of its day. And now we are in the fucking future where we don't need a, you know, radio transmitter to get our message out to the masses. And frankly, we are able to get our message out to the world via the internet, which is – honestly, it's like science fiction, dude.
It's a great equalizer. right? I mean, you don't need massive budgets to, I mean, you need to invest in it, but it's not like it used to be back when you started.
Dude, when I started, I mean, first of all, program directors dictate everything. You know how difficult it was for me to get on the air with a hair loss show.
Yeah.
Got on the air with a hair loss show. And then you're fighting tooth and nail to keep the goddamn show on the air because the powers that be don't get it. So if it wasn't for our listeners, if it wasn't for people tuning in, writing the stations, if it wasn't for the mainstream media picking up this unique broadcast and writing about it everywhere, it would have failed like every other guy who tried to do something similar.
Well, it had, you know, you had perseverance, and of course you had a great message that as you kept going, more and more people were latching onto.
Right.
And it's you can't call it viral, but it's one of those things that once it catches, it sticks, and then it just grows with, you know, with continued attention to it, which is what you've been doing. You've been chipping away for so long, and it's been growing over those years that it's solid.
Well, it's kind of like I'd say it's a solid cult following, but I'm good with that.
Yeah. Could be worse things.
Absolutely. I mean, look, it's a hair loss show. So, I mean, the fact that we've been doing this for 18 years is pretty incredible. And, guys, I want you to know that you guys can call in. If you have any questions or concerns about your hair loss, if you're considering surgical hair restoration, really, this is your safe place. Joe Tillman has been in the hair loss world, well, personally for a long time, but, you know, in the business since when? 2000?
2000, well, unofficially since my blog went up in March 2002.
Just make it easy, dude. Just
no, I gotta be accurate because right. Someone will jump, you know, someone else will claim it.
That's
right?
True, yeah.
I can own it. But yeah, so 14 coming up on 15 years.
15 years.
I've been in dealing with surgical hair restoration for 25 years. Or coming up on 25 years.
Well,
that's how long it's been since I first got cut.
That's unbelievable.
It is. I just realized that the other day.
Well, here's the thing. And we talk about this every week when we start. And, guys, I'll take your calls. It's 888-659-3727. I cannot emphasize enough how fucked up this industry is and how much worse it is getting again. The email that I got today from a 17-year-old kid who just had a hair transplant in New Jersey.
You're kidding me.
Is one of the most it was one of the saddest things that I've read in a long time. Now, this guy is – and he may be listening to the show because I told him to call in if he wants. And I told him I'm going to be candid about the situation. But this was a – and I hate to say it. I'm not going to mention any brands, but it was one of these motorized device guys. And it was a guy that actually promoted himself. He got some local press in the New York tri-state area not too long ago. And in that local press, this doctor, this physician actually said, well, patients are coming in younger and younger these days because they want to kind of catch their hair loss before it progresses. And he was saying that in this article, this guy said that he had performed surgery on kids as young as 16 years old. Well, this 17-year-old kid wrote me, and he is just, even though it's relatively, you know, compared to a strip surgery, you're not going through that same psychological issue. You haven't been cut. You're not dealing with staples or stitches. You're not dealing with the same level of pain. This kid is freaking out because he found our resources, and he's reading that he's way too young to have a hair transplant.
How many times have I heard this story?
A lot.
Where, hey, I just had a hair transplant. I just found you. I wish I'd done my research before.
Well, that's what I find interesting, especially for a young kid, because they live online. I mean,
yeah.
Before he had his hair transplant, and I have to say this, it's partially his parents' fault. And the truth is, we don't know what the results are going to be like, but we do know what his future holds. Because you know, if he had a significant amount of hair loss, enough hair loss to warrant even the smallest procedure, he's pretty much going to be screwed down the line unless he's able to stop the progression using medication. He's still a little young to even jump on finasteride.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like the thing that could be saving him from even the first surgery, had he been on the medication, he's not even old enough for it yet.
No. Now, I will say this. I do know some guys, you know, a lot of 17-year-olds are fully physically matured. And in severe cases, I have known physicians who've prescribed the drug and these kids have done really well with it. However, that is not what's really recommended. And we don't know, obviously, what the long-term adverse side effects of being on this drug for so many years can have on a person. Look, I've been on for over 20 years. I just had a full blood panel and apparently I'm fine. But who the fuck knows? I really have no idea what's going on. I don't.
So if the kid is listening, now that we've sufficiently scared the shit out of him.
Well, above and not beyond. I have. But I was very candid with him. And I also said that, look, yeah. You know, I mean, you don't know what this surgery could tide you over for a few years. You may be fine. There are things that are coming down the pike that may help you. Within a few months, I guess he's going to be 18. He can, you know, at least most doctors will prescribe finasteride, you know, hair loss experts. So if he's willing to try that, you know, he may have a chance. But the point that's not even the point. The point is, if you're a parent of a 17-year-old kid who's dealing with hair loss and who's desperate to get their hair back, and you know they're suffering and you want to try to help them, and I know that you're really trying to help them, that's why you paid for this surgery. Your kid's too young to have surgery. It is not even an option. If a doctor is willing to do it, this is a person that has no idea what the fuck they are doing, or they are completely unethical and unscrupulous. Is that a word?
Unscrupulous? Yes.
Yes. That was really weird. Like, I heard like a knock and then my cat started to cry. And I know he can't knock. And I'm wondering if he like just like ran up against the door.
I was going to say, did he just like run into the door and then
– It's very possible.
Is it one of those cats?
He's like 15, 16 years old now, you know, so.
Well, it could be. Could be.
But anyway, I had to put it out there. You know, if you want to call on guy, it's fine. 888-659-3727. Again, we don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I just think it's really important, especially for the parents out there, because this kid couldn't pay for it himself. He had to go to his parents.
Of course.
You know, they signed off on it. They're like, you know what? My kid's suffering. I want to help them. I want to help this kid. But
yeah, and the parent doesn't know any better because they're just like, you know, okay, well, the doctor is saying that it's viable, it's doable, and it's safe. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
You know?
Let's see who this is. Hey, man, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Andrew.
Andrew.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on?
What the fuck is going on, man?
Nothing. I haven't called in God knows how long.
How are you?
I'm horrible, as always.
Why? What's wrong?
You know.
I don't know.
Kid, everything.
What did you say, the kid?
The kid.
The kid. Come on. Look, it's a choice that you guys made. The kid is a great kid. You actually really lucked out with that kid.
No, he's a good kid.
You know, I was
good
like...
Good head of hair on that kid.
Good head of hair, but I was in the house... And we're drinking and doing – it's like the kid was in the crib. I don't remember her crying. Maybe once.
No. Which time? The first time or the second day you guys came over?
I have no idea. I don't remember her crying at all. I don't know if you drugged the kid or what, but I've never experienced anything like that.
No, I drugged you instead.
I know you did.
No, we came back. I think it was after the christening, right? It was like 1 o'clock. No, it was like midnight. And then you guys hung out till like 3 in the morning. I was
struggling too, man. I was like, you're like, oh, come to our house. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, you know what the problem was? It was a Jameson.
And then you opened up Jameson and it was just like,
And then I opened up Blue Label. I opened up that $400 bottle of Blue Label.
Jesus.
That's where it came from.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I felt pretty good at the christening. We drank a lot of Jameson. It was a lot of fun. It was a great event and, you know, very well executed, and I'm not a church guy. You know, the church gives me the creeps.
We didn't even do a church. You know, we did at St. John's University. We did it at their like.
Well, it's like a chapel. You know, it's still there's like chapel. Crosses and
you
it's
did
all
it at a frat house. What?
There's crosses and there's God involved. It's a whole thing. I never know what to do with the water. There's like a big bowl of water when you walk into these places.
Do you dunk your head in?
I don't know if you're like supposed to clean your hands or you put it on your head. I don't know what you do with it.
Is there any soap?
Oh, my God. No, I haven't called in. You know, you said something interesting. You were talking about, kids going on Propecia or at an early age.
Yeah.
Like 17 years old. But how different is it than putting your kid on, Ritalin and putting your on all these things? Like, almost everybody that I know right now, like 22 years old, is on Adderall.
Well, that,
almost everybody.
No,
that
listen,
I know.
And I think that's a good point. The only issue is that you want the kid to be fully developed in the junk area, which usually you are by 14 or 15 years old anyway, or 16 years old anyway. But they just want to make sure that they fully are through puberty before they put you on this drug. So, they give you a cutoff age of about 18. But I've known plenty of kids, not advocating this, but who have been put on finasteride at 17, who had some really good results. And I know this one kid actually. When I first started doing this 18 years ago, I was in contact with him. He's a kid from Denver. I forget his name now. And he must be, how old is he now? He must be like almost 40. Jesus.
Wow.
But anyway. 17 plus 18 is
35. Yeah.
Okay. So he's a grown man. And for years he was in contact with me just saying it was the best thing. He read about it through the Ball Truth. He found a doctor to prescribe it. It changed his life. But that's one kid. So I don't disagree with you, Andrew. I mean, I know kids who are on, like you said, every kid is on Ritalin. Every kid is fucking popping pills these days anyway, whether they are supposed to take – whether they're prescribed the drug or not.
Yeah.
So
– Well, listen, I was on the gimmicks at – I was on the gimmicks at like 15, 16 years old. You know what I mean? Like almost every athlete –
But that's why – I think maybe that's why you stopped growing.
I know, was on some sort of steroid. That's why I stopped at 5'9".
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like almost everybody's on it, but I don't. If it's impacting, if you're fully developed at that point, and you're deeply impacted from your hair loss, which I knew a lot of. There was a kid, Ball Charlie.
Oh shit!
In the school that we used to go to, and then there was this kid, Joey D, and he lived on 193, and we used to call him Ball Joey D from 193.
That is so. Fucked up, and
just up,
it's just so typical. It's what you do as a kid. There was always that kid.
What you do as a kid, and this guy. I mean, the poor guy was bald. He had like a baby face, and the guy was bald.
Bald Charlie. Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah, there's always the kid in high school that is either like that or has like you don't know why they have the weird like quasi comb over. You can't really figure it out. And then you realize, holy shit. Like, I go back and I look at old yearbooks, and there's one kid, I'm not going to mention his name, but it was like, he was wearing a ton of hairspray back when we were kids. That was abnormal. I didn't understand what it was.
See, but I did that in high school only because my hair was always, like, really fine.
Right.
And while I had normal density and everything, the fine texture of my hair, like, if I wanted to do the typical hairstyle of the day, which was spiked or whatever because it was the 80s.
A mullet.
A mullet, yeah. There were the mullets too. You had to use a lot of hairspray.
Well, here's the thing. In my day, it was kind of like I graduated in '83, so we're talking about like the late '70s when this kid was wearing hairspray. That was before the '80s hairstyles. Everyone was kind of like it was like long flowing locks. It was just really fucking weird. I didn't understand it. If you look at his picture now, he had a total comb over. And
I imagine everybody's walking around looking like Depeche Mode.
Dude, when I was a kid,
Flock of Seagulls,
it was like Led Zeppelin, it was like, you just had this long, like natural hair, man, like the late 70s. Totally different world, man. But yeah, and then I entered into the 80s. I actually started to wear hairspray before I started to lose my hair. Just not a lot, though, but just to kind of spike it up a little bit or to give it a little hold. But yeah, dude, that's the worst. And the fact that to this day you are 32 years old, you still remember Bald, whatever his name is, from 193.
Bald Charlie and Bald Joey D from 193.
Bald Joey D from 193.
How do you remember that stuff?
So have you ever, seen these guys?
He was a really dumb drug dealer, too. That was the whole thing about him. He was a bald drug dealer.
Now, have you seen these guys, like, around the neighborhood?
Yeah, I see them all the time. I mean, they look terrible.
Really?
I mean, Bald Joey D, he was so bald when he was like 16, 17, that now it actually looks like he grew hair. Like it's like reverse at this point because he was so bald at that point.
Now it's like age appropriate.
Now he looks good, but he's like this fat schlub, you know, he looks terrible, the poor guy. He wasn't a bad looking guy. He used to work out and all this stuff and, you know, life beat him up.
Yeah. Well, life and hair loss beats you up.
I think you beat him up.
Yeah.
With the
nicknames. No, I didn't, because he was a lunatic, the guy.
Dude, first of all,
we never would say it in front of him.
Andrew Zarian is a mean girl.
I'm not a mean girl.
You are a mean girl. You are the most.
So I'm going to start on the stuff that you said.
You are the most judgmental dude. And I know that your generation says judgy. It's unbelievable.
Is that true, Andrew?
Started on you.
Don't get on me.
I'm not judgy, but you know, Spencer's a lot more judgy than I am, and he pretends he's not.
That is not true at all, dude. That is not true.
I
deny anything that you're about to say, and I'm going to cut your mic.
I know nothing. I got no dog in
this
one.
All I'm going to tell you is I was talking to a friend that you know, Spencer, that you hung out with, okay?
Yeah.
When you were in New York, when we went to that Irish bar.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a bartender.
Smokes L&M's.
Yeah. Smokes L&M's.
Yeah.
So I was hanging out with him on Thursday night, and this is a guy that has never once mentioned his hair loss to me.
Right.
He knows I'm involved with you. He knows that I'm involved with this stuff, and never has once mentioned him being affected by it or his. You know, disappointment in his hair, and we're drinking, and he's doing some other stuff, but we're drinking, and all of a sudden he just starts opening up about his hair loss and how it's ruined his life.
Of course it has.
How if he only knew what he knows now about it, he would have had a different life.
Look, it's unlikely
he's not on the medication.
It's unlikely he'd still be smoking the L&M's as much as he is. It's unlikely the dry goods would be involved. You know,
yeah, but it's amazing. Like, I was thinking about that, and he was asking me, he's like, do you think if I went on Propecia, my hair would have been here? And, you know, the guy, he's like a total Norwood, but it's very fine hair. So
no, he still has, I think, some vellus hair, and actually, like,
yeah,
it's wispy up there. I think he actually may grow some back.
Yeah, he probably, and I told him that. I'm like, dude, listen, if you don't have the money, just go on the generic, $30 a month. What do you have to lose for $30 a month? I'm like, you're spending that on stuff anyway.
He spends a lot more than that on stuff.
Yeah, well, he's spending a lot more. But he was like, well, what if I went on it like 20 years ago when I was, 25? I was like, if you went on it 20 years ago,
he wouldn't be bartending right now. That's all I'm going to say.
No, the guy would be
You know, he'd be like a CEO of some company. His entire, he'd be married with children. His entire life would be different.
Oh, my God.
And so we're continuing the conversation we're having this talk.
What?
He'd be a winner.
Yeah. Listen, so we're
bad, man.
And everything. And the guy goes, he's like, listen, let me ask you, though, seriously, between us, is everything working?
Between us and everyone on the phone.
And he goes, is everything working? I go, let me ask you, what do you know about the medication? He's like, I don't know anything. That's the only thing I know about it, that it causes impotence.
Right.
And I go, is that why you didn't go on? He's like, yeah, that's probably the reason why I didn't go on. I'm like, so let me get this straight. You drink like a fish. You do all these different things.
Dry goods.
And you do whatever. And this is you think this is going to be the thing that breaks you?
First of all, the dry goods alone, that's it. You do dry goods, there's no having sex. It's not going to happen.
I couldn't believe the way that he was thinking about it. And you know what? At this point, I was thinking, I feel so bad because there's so many men out there that are on that verge. You know, they can see their hair. They are 5 years away from, really being, you know, too far off the deep end. Well, and they will not go on this medication because of the negative press it's received.
That's right. And listen, look at Chauncey. Do you think that if the bald truth – let's see. When did Chauncey have his transplant? It was probably just like maybe 2 years before the bald truth was in the air.
So 19 – I'll tell you right now. He had a 1998.
Oh, okay. So
99.
I was already on the air, and I was already on a Howard – well, let's see. No, in 98, I was on WABC. So it's –
So, you would know better. When did Hitzik start doing his ads?
Oh, he's been doing it – I don't know when he was doing his ads, but he was doing hair transplants since, like, it's got to be mid-'80s, early-'80s, something like that.
Like the radio spots, you know, like the
I don't know. I mean, he was doing them for a while, so I would
say – You know what? I would say it was 1998.
All right. That was a real crossover. If Chauncey would have happened to have either picked up my book at the bookstore or just stumbled across the program, it would have been a completely different world. Because to tell you the truth, in 1998, that's when I was going up against this guy really strong on the air to the point where, you know, within the first few months of my show, he filed a lawsuit against me.
Well, when did Grillo do it, do you know?
I don't know the exact date, but it's probably around the same time. it's probably because it was all for the promotion, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, as soon as the show came on the air, all of a sudden, like, these guys came out of the fucking woodwork because we were huge. I mean, WABC was just this huge blowtorch station. And it's like, all of a sudden, there's hair loss show. And he was the biggest. Long Island Medical Associates was the biggest, most well-known hair transplant clinic or firm in the tri-state area. And it was just like all of a sudden it was just like the Long Island Medical Special, you know? Like everyone was calling about this guy, saying how his life was destroyed.
You spent some time with him. You spent a lot of time with him at the christening, at the party. You know, he's not a terrible-looking guy. He's looking better as he's getting older.
Who did I spend time with?
He's really affected by hair loss.
Who did I spend time with?
Chauncey.
Oh, yeah. No, he actually – I like Chauncey a lot. He actually looks better, much better as he got older because – and also his scars aren't as noticeable.
I have the date, actually, 1995. I'm talking to him right now, 1995.
You are. You should tell him to call in, dude.
Yeah.
Tell him to call in. I'd love to hear it. We should talk to him about it because it's an important story for anyone. Listen, as bad as it was back then, Joe and I will say this today. I'm telling you, it's getting worse. It's even worse now. You're not going to be as scarred as far as having these long linear scars, but people are getting fucked up royally now.
You know what it is worse? I mean, I get the physical damage, right? I get the money wasted. But a guy like Chauncey was wearing a partial.
He wasn't wearing a partial. He was wearing a full. It wasn't the sides. It was the entire cap, and he shaved it close.
Well, I think at first he was wearing a partial, and then he got the transplant, and it was so terrible he ended up getting a full piece.
Here, I'm going to leave a line open here. Hold on. Tell the guy to call in.
I think he's calling in. I'm talking to him right now.
All right, give me the number.
You know, I did already.
All right,
and I said it twice like you do on the show.
Okay.
But, I mean, Joe, you deal with these guys all the time. It's heartbreaking to me to see a guy like Chauncey. I mean, 1995 was still the early days, and I get that. But
yeah, you know what?
Hear the stories now.
It wasn't that early because Bobby Limmer was doing follicular unit transplantation back in 95. There were a couple of guys like Bill Rassman who was promoting it on television at the New Hair Institute. So, I mean, if he would have made the right move.
Well, in the sense that lack of education, right? Lack of education.
Well, there was no education. There was nothing, man.
There was nothing.
Until the bald truth. And I had to pat myself in the back. And I became a hated man. And, like, you know, I had a fucking target on my back because of that book. But there was no information. You read about shit in the back of the fucking New York Post or the Daily News. You saw an ad or there was an ad on the Howard Stern show locally.
Brochures.
Or an infomercial.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yes. Let me see if this is Chauncey. Yeah. Hold on. Hey man, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, it's Chauncey.
Chauncey, man, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are good. We're talking about you, man, as Andrew told you.
Are you telling the truth about being bald?
We're telling... Yeah, it's the bald truth, exactly.
You know what that's going to be? That's going to be when Spencer and I have a falling out, my show's going to be the truth about being bald.
Motherfucker.
That's pretty funny.
No, but, you know, we were talking about when you had your transplant, and Andrew initially thought it was 98. Now we found out it's 95. And you had no idea what you were getting involved in, right?
No idea. Again, it goes back to the advertising and marketing was so good. It was so brilliant. How it started was so great at selling that product. He really made you believe that you were going to have a thick, full head of hair.
Sure. Like,
you believed it. I mean, you wanted to believe it.
But wait a minute. Who better than Howard to talk about having a full head of hair?
who better than Howard to say that your hair transplant will look as good as his wig?
Jesus.
I know.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Okay.
Remember back then, this is 95, Howard was so big. He was so, anything he said, you would do or believe or buy.
I know.
But
how does he, what I find interesting about that is, you know, he gave me some shit a long time ago about my program because people were talking about his hair. We talked about this before. And what I find interesting is he was like, you know, what is this Coburn selling? I wasn't selling anything. But the point is, this guy, like you said, was the best salesman in the world. And he had some of the biggest hack advertisers on his program. Now, I'm not saying that's his fault because he's in business to sell advertising.
Right.
But, you know, there are so many people that unfortunately, because of his, you know, his brand and because of who he was, he put so many people in harm's way. You're just one
thousands. He didn't sit there and qualify advertisers.
No.
You could advertise. If you had the money, which it was a fortune, by the way, to advertise.
$30,000 for a 30-second
spot. To be fair, it's not like he'd be able to do the research anyway because it's like it takes so long to even understand what the hell you're dealing with.
No, of course.
Yeah, station,
so it's
right?
not like, I mean, it's not like he could look at it and say, all right, this is good or not.
Under normal circumstances, I would have no problem with it. And I understand, and I understand, you know, that's what radio is about. It's about selling advertising. However, he gave me shit, and I'm like, dude, you are the biggest, in my view, at that time, because I wasn't selling out. He was saying that, you know, what kind of bullshit is he selling? He sold all the hair bullshit.
Okay,
everything.
So, Spence, I'm gonna give you, and you're doing the plastic surgery stuff now too, so you would totally, this is totally relatable.
Yeah.
So we know two people that got a transplant due to those spots, and Howard does the spot that people are paying for. He has no control over it. It's a station spot. He has no responsibility with this. But we know two people, Chauncey and Grillo,
right?
That both had a transplant from this guy, and it went bad. And I could tell there's another
Billy
one.
West.
Okay, who? Oh, Billy West. Yeah, Billy West also did it, and it went terrible. Absolutely, yeah.
Dude, there was
the voiceover guy, the comic, Billy West.
There was a huge class action lawsuit. I mean, and I'm telling you, we got call after call after call to the point where, because so many people were calling the program, that this doctor sued me. Now, this is early on in my career. I took him on, and I ended up, you know, basically the settlement.
Hitzig.
Basically, the settlement was, I could not talk. I could only talk about him in a derogatory fashion for half my broadcast every week. That was the that's what he pulled out with that settlement. I would give him absolutely fucking nothing because I had truth as a defense, and his lawyer knew it.
But you know what? It's not him. I mean,
I don't know how the guy lives with
him. There's another one in New York, I don't know if you want me to mention it, Spence. If you want me to mention, I'll say the name. But the laser surgeon, what?
Say whatever you want. Zizmore?
Dr. Jeff Delarusso. Delarusso, that's another one. He's all over the radio. Now, at this point, he's doing urban stations where he's financed. The whole sales point is that he finances the LASIK eye surgery. I could tell you about 10 people that have gone to him. I mean, this is like 10 now with the surgery. It's very different now, but this is like 10, 15 years ago, and they had a bad experience. They had to go for a redo. The other guy that did the boot jobs on Howard, which he actually, I think he got his license taken away because it's illegal.
Oh, he was the Philadelphia guy.
Yes, the Philly guy.
What was his name? I remember.
Oh, he would go on, and he would get free boot jobs, and then... What?
Did he lose his medical license?
I think he had... There was a major, major lawsuit against him. I can't remember his name. I'll look it up, but... That it's illegal. Spencer knows this because he's in the industry.
Well, it depends. There's actually issues with running contests for certain things, and it depends on how you run the contest and where you run the contest. If it's done online and it's done in a very specific way, doctors can get away with it. But if it really depends on the semantics and how it's being advertised. So he may have skirted the law. Who knows? I mean, I didn't hear that he lost his license.
It was
a guy with like a real Italian name, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it right now, and I'll find it.
He would come on Stern, and he'd throw away boob jobs to anyone. Howard said should have a boob job.
Yeah.
Every week he was giving away boob jobs.
Dr. Sal Calabro.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember that guy. Yes. I remember that guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
By the way, when I looked this up, Chauncey, you come up in this article.
Oh, my God.
Well, Chauncey Hayden comes up because you apparently got into a fight with Cabby on that show.
Yeah, all Chauncey's plastic surgeons are like on the lam somewhere.
Stepanad editor Chauncey Hayden called in to complain about dinner in Wayne, New Jersey, that has refused to carry his magazine anymore. According to Chauncey, a few older female school teachers were appalled at a picture of Howard's girlfriend Beth on the cover and complained to the manager.
Jesus.
Any story, I don't care what
it
was.
Wait, this is how the story ends. Between the bad back tattoo and the hair transplant done by a garbage man, he needs something good in his life to happen.
Oh, my God.
But Chauncey, I mean, this is something that, you know, we talk about it, we joke about it, but it really wasn't a joke. I mean, it's something that really affected your life.
Oh, changed my life forever. My life was never the same, never the same. Yeah, I mean, you go on. What choice do you have? I mean, either that or jump off a building. But it definitely was an awful experience that was life-changing that is irreversible. I mean,
it's done.
It's done.
And you didn't have one. And the thing is, you didn't just have one procedure because you have a couple of scars in the back of your head. And
It took three before I finally realized what was happening. That's how much I wanted to believe. I didn't go back to the well once or twice. I went back to the well three times.
I can relate to that because it was in my second one where I asked my first intelligent question, which was, what happens if I lose more hair? Yeah, you want to believe, and so you don't let the rational side of your brain, your thought process, actually take over. And that's your downfall.
You want to believe so bad. You just want to hear. You just want to look the way you used to look again. And you want to believe. And you're right.
Yeah.
You don't let your common sense. I'll never forget it. The day I was going for the first surgery, there was a woman in my office. Her name was actually Michelle Hayden. No relation. It's kind of odd. But she begged me. She said, "You don't need it. Don't do it. This is the dumbest thing you've ever done. Why are you just..." Fed me, and I wasn't going to have it. I was like, no, you don't know what it's like. I can't date girls. This is a nightmare. I'm too young to be bald. Didn't listen. And she tried to talk sense. I'll never forget it. Tried to talk me out of it, and I just wouldn't listen.
Yeah, but listen, you're being promised the world. This is a major advertiser on the Stern Show. You know, you would think that, okay, if something went wrong with your surgery because you are Chauncey Hayden, that, you know, at the very least, this guy would do whatever he could to make it, you know, work well for you.
He'd step up and he'd make sure he's got his A game.
Exactly.
Yeah, at least this will be the good one. Even if he's bad, he'll make sure this is good.
Right. But the thing is, in my view, this particular clinic and this person and the people who worked for this clinic were incapable of performing a good natural-looking hair transplant. They didn't know what the difference was. It wasn't about just the technology of the day. The truth is back in 95, technology had evolved tremendously. If you would have found the right surgeon in 95, it's very possible your entire life would be different right now, Chauncey. I'm just being honest, you know. I mean, listen.
I know.
I get it.
I get it.
Now, does Stern feel bad for you?
Oil salesman.
What'd you say?
This guy, this doctor, I'm going to tell you how corrupt he was. Do you know what he would do? He would have somebody sit in the waiting room with a thick head of hair and say, and tell the people in the waiting room that were waiting for an evaluation to see if they were going to do it, say, yeah, this is my third time here. Look how great my hair looks. This place is awesome. Like he was a patient.
Yeah.
He was getting paid to sit there.
I have so many stories. I don't want to even get into them about this guy because, you know, that's kind of like at this point it's water under the bridge. And, you know, he came to me a few years ago and he expressed some remorse.
Extended the white flag.
And I had him on the program to talk about something else that he was involved in. But I was very open about it and said, look, dude, I mean, this is a guy that sued me for telling the truth about what was happening in his practice. And we discussed that openly. But the truth is, it was bad, dude. I mean, I spoke to – there is no joke – hundreds, maybe 140, 100 – I mean, there was one class action lawsuit back in 98, 99. I spoke to every one of the plaintiffs.
Wow.
And, I mean, these guys, their lives were destroyed. Some of these guys were stuck under really bad hair pieces or they were just, had to change their career paths. You were actually very lucky having the career that you had because you were able to wear hats and kind of figure out a way to work it.
Well, I did for a number of years. I wore a hair piece for a long time. And then one day I just said, fuck this.
Yeah.
Fuck this. I don't care anymore. Because I felt like I was a hostage and I felt like a victim. Every day I felt like a victim.
Right.
And it wasn't until I said, I'm just going to shave my head and I am who I am. And if my scars bother you, then so be it. I'm just going to live my life. And interestingly enough, my scars are behind me, behind my head. And so I like to think, well, it's behind me now,
right.
And that's why I live my life looking forward, not backward.
Yeah.
And honest to God, I can't be more sincere than just to say that's how I perceive my life now. When I look in the mirror, I don't see my scars. When I walk down the street, I don't see them.
Well, I have to be honest.
Do you see them?
I was looking for them and at them at the christening, and I will tell you the truth. I think with age, not only do they fade and the fact that you have very light skin, I mean, they're not that noticeable from a social distance. I'm being honest with you.
We know about it because we're in that world.
Right.
If you're not in that world, you know, I'll tell you, I went to a plastic surgeon a number of years ago in New Jersey, and I said,
Was it our friend that's missing now?
No. This was
your friend that's on the lam.
Yeah.
No. Not him. No. A real plastic surgeon. And I said, is there anything that can be done? Anything? And he looked at my head and he didn't say anything. He brought me into his office. And you know what? This guy was great. He really was. He didn't try to sell me anything. He said, listen, Chauncey, I'm going to tell you something. He goes, yeah, you got scars in the back of your head. But you know what? No one is going to care. He said, people are going to think, oh, maybe he had a car accident or you know, something might have happened. Or if even that, he said, people may not even notice it. He said, don't do anything. Just live your life.
That's right.
Because you're thinking, he said, you're thinking way too much about it. He goes, you're thinking more about it than anybody else you meet ever will. He said, you don't need anything. Live your life.
Exactly right.
And you know what? That's when I said, screw it. He's right.
And he is right. Because I saw you at the christening. You looked really well. You look good. I mean, the look works for you. And that's what kills me is that, you know, maybe if you would have tried that as a young person, as difficult as it is, you wouldn't have gone through it. Or you would have just worn a piece for a while and at least you wouldn't have felt like you were a prisoner hiding your scars because you could always just take it off like you did, but without the fear of the scars. And that's what that's what these guys don't tell you, man. Now, listen, the industry has changed a lot, and for the most part, it's much better. Unfortunately, though, because of this new technology that's coming out, and now that there's a much lower barrier to entry to get involved in hair transplant surgery, it's starting, you know, the bad work is starting to kind of resurface. But now, instead of having linear scars and pitting in your scalp, they are just thousands of tiny little scars in the back of a person's head that gives like this shotgun appearance and his moth-eaten appearance.
Oh, you're kidding. Really?
Yeah. It's a mess, man. It's a fucking mess.
But can I ask you something? I'm being dead serious.
Yeah.
In the world we live in today, hasn't the stigma of losing your hair kind of faded? I mean, most people shave their head. People with hair shave their head.
It's not about the stigma.
It used to be a bizarre look. It used to be a very, you'd stand out. You look like something was wrong with you.
Right.
Well, who doesn't shave their head anymore? Why would you even want to do that?
Well, it depends on who you are, you know. I mean, if you're equipped to walk around and live your life with a shaved head, it's 100% socially acceptable now. So it's much easier for people to do that. So you're right. The stigma of that is gone. But it's more—it's more about people looking at themselves in the mirror and feeling comfortable in their own skin, and kind of, you know, losing their self-confidence. You know, their self-esteem kind of erodes with their hairline, especially when you're younger. So these guys are still really desperate. And the truth is, the industry is bigger than it's ever been.
Bigger than it's ever been. But I got to challenge what you're saying about the stigma of a shaved head being gone. Because you still have the assholes that come up and rub your head and say, "Oh, look, he's going bald." And it's like,
"Well, that's true."
It still happens.
I'm out of the mix. I didn't think that happened anymore.
Yeah,
I really thought that. You look at TV stars. You look at so many rock stars. You look at people today, and so many shave their head. Like I really didn't think we lived in a world where people still did that.
I can tell you this, that I hear the chatter. You know, when I talk about what I do for a living, if I'm at a party and I'm out here in Los Angeles and you hear the women talking and, you know, out of one side of their mouth, they're saying, "I don't care if a guy is bald, but I wouldn't date one." You know, like I don't think it looks bad.
I don't care if your man's bald.
Yeah. Yeah. Your man looks great, but I'm not going to date him. Or, you know, there's just you hear all these obnoxious comments. Listen, it doesn't go away, man.
My friend, you know what it is? I mean, I don't sound like I practice what I preach, but I swear, if I could pass on my wisdom through my age, it really is how you work the look. If you shave your head and you're confident about it, it's all about your persona. If you make it work for you, people won't see your bald. They'll think you're cool. If you have that sensibility about you where you feel unequal to other people with hair, you're going to project that.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct. And that's why when I was going through, you know, my 20s and dealing with the mess that was on my head from two hair transplants and going bald, you know, I discovered early on that when you go through what you and I went through, Chance, is that you do one of two things. You either withdraw into almost like a hermit type of existence where you don't go anywhere without a baseball cap or some sort of hat, or you just don't go out and socialize. That's on one end of the spectrum. The other end is you overcompensate with, you know, personality plus, like being really outgoing. And I was always in the position where I had no choice but to kind of be outgoing. And I kind of attribute my early experiences with surgical hair restoration as contributing to my personality as it is today, because I had to compensate. I had to hide it because I was always bartending. I was always, you know, working in restaurants. And so you don't wear a hat and you got to present yourself as being, you know, especially bartending, you got to be the man. Right. And So
yeah, but I don't think Chauncey. I don't know if you're watching the show, Chauncey, but I don't think you've seen. This is Joe Tillman, by the way. I don't think you've seen Joe's head of hair after having a great hair transplant. I mean, this is a guy who was a Norwood.
I have a computer. Go ahead.
Yeah, this guy was like a Norwood 6 going on a 12 by the time he was like 23 years old.
Yeah.
And now, at least from the front, you know, and this is how everyone sees him, he looks like he has a completely full head of hair. And
wow.
That's because – and he also had two bad transplants that he had to have repaired. But he found the right clinic that was able to repair his work. And that's why I say that, you know, listen, hair transplantation has a bad name for a reason. There's so many fuck-ups out there. The industry is a dirty – in my view, in general, it's just a – it's a – fucking terrible, unethical place where it's just, you know, riddled with scumbags.
It's an industry that plays on your greatest emotion.
On the vulnerability of
emotional.
On the vulnerability, and it panders to the vulnerability of especially younger guys. But, you know,
how many people do you think walked into Hair Club thinking they're actually getting their hair, and they ended up getting a rug slapped on their
everybody,
head.
Because everybody. I did that, and
they were the worst.
Dude, I'm telling you, I was this woman's worst nightmare, and I was only like 23 years old at the time, or 22. I went in there for a consultation, full head of hair, mind you, it was just starting to thin. And they were trying to sell me this biomatrix system, and I put her feet to the fire. I was like, what is it? I don't understand. How does it work? Show me how you do it. Can I see the process? I mean, till finally she's like, okay, it's a hairpiece, you know? This woman was sweating, you know, and I'm friends with Cy Sperling now, you know, and I've had Cy on the show. We've talked about this, you know.
Wait, I have a great story to tell you. You're going to Spencer, you're going to love this.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've ever told you this story, which I can't believe I never told you this story.
Let me hear it.
Of all the times we've hung out. So have you ever heard of JA Alternatives?
Of course.
I used to wear a piece from them.
They had a really big television presence.
They had a big television. That's where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
So they had a big – they used to run one-hour infomercials every night. These long, elaborate infomercials.
You know, she's still in the business, by the way, but go ahead.
Is she really?
Yeah.
They had an office. Well, she's not going to want me to say this, but I'm saying it.
Say it.
So they had an office in Paramus.
Right.
And at the time, but this is before I started using them, I had a barber in Westwood, New Jersey, and he did these hair pieces on the side. So hers would cost like $2,000, $3,000.
Right.
She had all these different kind of programs where they were disposable ones, there were long-term ones,
right.
You know, ones they would wear for a month and they throw in the garbage, all these different things. Well, the guy that I went to, it was $500, and the thing would last for like a year.
Right.
And he just blew it to your head like they all do. And so
Where was the guy? Who was the guy?
The guy's name was, his name was Walter, I'm trying to think of his last name, and he owned a place called Gentleman's Quarters. He cut my hair since I was a little boy. Like, he was my barber. Like, when I had hair, he was my barber. Walter. He used to keep penthouse and Playboys in his waiting room before he got a haircut. I used to go, I couldn't believe I was in seventh grade reading penthouse in his waiting room.
Dude, that was the first time I saw Playboys in the barber shop. Are you kidding me?
At the time, the
chick had a fishbowl in front of her bush. That's how old I am.
we digress. So anyway, so I put $500, the guy slaps a piece on your head, and I was young enough at the time where you can get away wearing a bad piece because your hair is so thick on the sides anyway, and you don't need that thinning hairline on top when you're a young man.
And also your coloring and the fact that you're a redhead helped because all that shit turns red anyway. All that
right.
hair
yeah.
starts to bronze.
Right.
I mean, it starts to oxidize.
Yeah. It's true. Having red hair makes it look more natural.
Right.
For some reason, you're right, it does. So anyway, so when I just started seeing J&A because I had a barter deal with them with the Stepping Out magazine where they weren't going to charge me for pieces.
Right.
So they were going to give me like $2,000 pieces for just ads.
Right.
But I was still wearing Walter's piece on my head. that was still had it, you know, still looked good, and I didn't, you know, still wearing it.
Right.
So I would go there to get it serviced. So they would take it off my head. They'd wash your head. Which would feel so good. They'd scratch your head because your head would itch so much from having this thing glued to it when they would take it off.
But how long? So would you have it glued on for like a month or something?
As long as the glue would hold. So it could be a month. Sometimes it could be 6 weeks, depending on the time of year.
I mean, that's like the last thing. That's the last. I mean, you should no more than a week. You know, that should be a limit because you really have – you can have so many problems, dermatological problems from that shit. And the smell alone, you may not even realize it, but you may have smelled.
Oh, this glue was like cement.
They all laundry.
And they would press it. They'd press it onto your head. Like they'd – like the compression to your neck. I'm sure I'm 2 inches smaller from years of women pressing on top of my head.
Compressed spinal cord.
By the way, the more I hear Tom tell the story, I'm actually freebasing Propecia at this point.
But to be honest with you, I've seen Chauncey, at least in images, with his hairpiece, and for what it was at the time, I mean, it looked pretty good.
It did look good.
Yeah, no. There was sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. But listen, I did Howard Stern for years, and he never knew I had a piece.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he would have busted my balls had he known, and Howard, he didn't know. I think it wasn't until the end, until years later, I think Gary came in one time and said, by the way, you know, I think Chauncey has a piece. Somebody ratted me out, but Howard never knew.
How would Howard know what a piece is like? He's never come in contact with one.
How would Howard know? He never had one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so wait. Here's the best part of the. Here's the story. So anyway, so that woman, what was Jane? Her name was Jane, right? Jane A.
Yes. Yes.
Jane.
Yeah.
She's in the lobby.
She had a crazy curly hair. She always had a look on her face like she'd just been to a Valium and she didn't like the taste.
Yeah, and very overweight, like bloated, curly, crazy hair. So she sees me paying my bill for my service and she goes, wow. She goes, your hair looks really good. That looks great on you. She goes, can I talk to you for a minute? And I'm like, sure. So she calls me over. She goes, listen, she goes, I'm doing an infomercial next month. I'd love to have you on the commercial with you know, promoting our product, and I'll give you free servicing for 6 months. You won't have to pay for any servicing, you know.
6 months.
And now I'm already getting the hairpiece for free, so now I'm going to get the hairpiece. Little does she know, it's not
her piece.
It's Walter's.
Yeah, because they all come from the same fucking factories.
Yeah.
I did a
commercial for her product with somebody else's piece on my head, and she knew it wasn't her piece. She didn't even care. That's how corrupt they are.
That is fucking classic, man.
Or somebody else's piece for her infomercials.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. They're all that's the thing.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, she knows they're all the same.
She doesn't care.
Dude, that is hilarious. I would love to. I mean, is that video anywhere that can we find it anywhere?
Oh my God, I hope not. Now this is going back a long time.
It could be on YouTube, man. It could be on YouTube somewhere.
It could be. I'll never forget it. This had to be 94. And I remember I was kind of dating this girl, this beautiful girl, this bartender. I took her to Jamaica with me. She was beautiful. And she didn't know. And then one day I went to the bar, and she looked at me weird. And she goes, so, Chauncey, what's going on? I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, that's not your hair? She saw the commercial. I don't know what I was thinking. Like, no one's going to see this thing. Everybody saw this commercial.
But here's the thing. This is what's hilarious. She didn't notice it until she saw you on the commercial.
She didn't know it until she saw the commercial.
She had no clue.
She was shocked. She goes, mean, that's not your hair?
And okay, so she and that's an interesting part of the story. But I mean, her reaction besides finding out it wasn't your hair, did she give a shit?
I think so. I don't think she ever looked at me the same way again.
Really?
Yeah.
That's heavy, yep. Man.
I think it did matter. I think it was a deal breaker. Absolutely.
Isn't it amazing? I know that this is a different time, but I mean, you know, you can basically shove silicone orbs into a person's chest cavity, into their breasts, and that's cool. You know, walk around with that shit, that's fine. But if some guy wants to put a little hair on his head, it's like the end of the fucking world. You know?
Yeah.
Think about that. Jesus Christ. But that's a hilarious story, man. I'm going to find that tape.
How corrupt is that? That you're actually running a commercial. I mean, it's got to be illegal. There's got to be something about that that's illegal, that you're selling a product that's not yours as if you're making that product. That can't be illegal.
I don't think that the, Consumer Affairs would really, you know, they have a lot to deal with. I don't think they're going to be that concerned about, you know.
Let's get the FTC on it.
The FTC, yeah. Chauncey Hayden wearing a different person's hair, a different company's hairpiece. You know, when there are doctors killing people out there, you know.
Congressional inquiries.
Yeah. The truth of the matter is, and let me tell you something. I know Cy Sperling. This guy has told me some hilarious fucking stories, man. You know, because he was in it from the beginning. So he knows everything.
He was like one of the first.
Dude, yeah.
One of the first to make it commercial. Really make it a commercial.
He is the first.
No, we're not trying to hide it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to say the word bald.
Dude, this guy, I will tell you, with no matter what people say about the hair club, this guy became a part of the fabric of our culture and changed, you know, the stigma forever. You know, he went out there with a before picture of him with his bald fucking head, you know, shaved down with his big, you know, bozo sides, and then with his hairpiece on, and said, look, this was me. And now check me out. And that was the most.
Now look at me.
That was the most powerful imaging ever.
Yes.
Of its day. It changed the field completely.
And everybody copied it because you got to remember what they would do. They'd make you as unattractive as possible, the bozo hair.
Yeah.
Where your hair would be so grown out on the sides that you couldn't believe how bald you would look.
Dude, it's like the guys that
have that haircut.
It's like the guys who do Photoshop me and Andrew bald. They give us the big bozo sides. It's unfair because we wouldn't look that way. We would just shave the sides.
You wouldn't have your hair. Wouldn't look like that.
No.
That's what's unfair. I love it. It's unfair. They make the sides too big.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you're going to take my hair off, man, at least make it look good. Do something. You know, they flatten your head out. And you know who makes those pictures? Andrew's brothers.
And I got to be honest.
My brother does them. Yeah, my brother makes him into bozo.
Look at Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis, I think, is an attractive man. Bald, right?
Yes.
Bruce Willis works it. He works it. He looks great. In fact, I can't even picture Bruce Willis with hair.
Well, I have to say this. You always give yourself shit. And you I see how you talk about yourself online. I used to hear about how you talked about yourself on the radio. The truth is, when you meet you in person, I mean, you look good bald too. I don't know why. I mean, I guess maybe it's part of being self-deprecating, but it works for you.
It is. Because you know why? Because I think it's only my sense of humor. Because I do find being self-deprecating to be hilarious.
Yeah.
I find the funniness in life, and especially in myself. You know what I mean? And I've had people say, dude, why you beat yourself up? You know, you make yourself sound so much worse than you are. I just find it funny. I like to entertain myself, and that's why I make myself laugh.
Well, you know what? I mean, I get it. I'm self-deprecating too, but you take it to a level I don't know if you're actually like sitting in a like typing on Facebook, sitting in a bar, getting fucking loaded, and like ready to pull the trigger, or if you're joking.
You know what? I'm 9 times out of 10, I'm joking.
Okay.
I mean, I go to dark places. I go to very dark places.
We all do, man.
But as a writer, I can't help but write. Like, I won't sit in my apartment and get dark and have a glass of whiskey and cry. My first instinct is to start typing, start writing, and either make it funny or at least make it compelling, one of the two. It's like my own therapy. It's how I deal with it.
We just lost Joe Tillman. I would normally, like when I'm feeling that way, hold on for a second. I was trying to call back in. Jesus. When I'm feeling,
you just look out over your estate and your pool over the Hollywood Hills with your beautiful wife and go, you know.
No, actually, I end up drinking half a bottle of Dewar's and I'm in a strip club. Sadly, it doesn't make a difference, dude. When you're down, you're down. That's just the way that it is. But look, you know, you have, and I have a guy who's actually trying to get through that has been a hairpiece wearer for a long time that's got some funny stories too. But, I mean, your life and what you had to deal with and the fact that you were influenced by, you know, being a part of the Howard Stern show and just taking these freebies and, you know, you basically you did everything on barter in a sense. Everything was a fucking shtick. Everything was a bit for you.
Right. And people wanted to throw things at you because your association with Stern. They thought that you're like a walking billboard. If he uses my product, Howard's going to talk about it.
Right. And that's the truth.
Yeah, that was,
and that's
true.
The truth. And you look what happened to Steve Grillo. I mean, I actually, you know, we helped him. You know, I got him about $40,000 worth of repair surgery because – as bad as you thought you were, I mean, this guy was walking around with some of the most obvious plugs, so you were able to shave it.
He looked bad. Yeah, I don't know why he looked so bad. You can't even tell I had plugs in the front of my head. Like, you don't even see him. Grillo.
Well, there's a reason.
It was
terrible. There was a reason. You were able to shave it down. It looked fine. And then, hold on, I'm getting Joe back on. And then, you know, then you turned gray. So.
Right.
Now you can't even see that there's anything there. Grillo had very white skin and very dark hair, so it looked like he just had his picket fence line across his hairline. I never forget, he was working at the Raccoon Lodge. I walked in. I didn't know him, but he knew me. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "You're Spencer Coburn?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like,
"Hey,
holy
Spencer, can I get you the potatoes?"
He's like, holy shit. He goes, "Man, I'm Steve Grillo from the Howard Stern Show, man." And, you know, he always says Steve Grillo from the Howard Stern Show. Meanwhile, he's tending bar. You know?
I'm Steve's Grillo's from the Howard Stern Show.
So anyway, I'm like, "Listen, man, of course."
Spencer's, you look at my hairs.
I'm like, "Listen, of course, man." You know, and then actually a friend of mine, Ben, who's hanging out at the bar. He's like, "Yeah, you guys should talk. You know, Steve can use some help, whatever it is." The guy had no money. I was like, "You know what? I'll talk to somebody and see if I can help you out." Now at least he looks normal as far as his hair is concerned. Was that the wrong thing to say as far as his hair is concerned? But you know what I'm saying.
I mean, there's no looking normal for him, but.
But listen, guys, Chauncey, man, I appreciate you calling in. And, I mean, you fucking got – I have to say you got lucky because there are guys out there that are totally destroyed by the person that you had surgery done by who are now stuck under hair pieces, who have not been able to liberate themselves the way that you have. And, you know, you've had a successful life. I have these guys. They've changed their career paths. They're like – not saying there's anything wrong with being a truck driver, but I mean they're like driving like potato chip routes and shit like that because they can live under a hat.
Well, yeah. What can I tell you, man?
Well,
But anyway, I think you do a lot of good. I'll let you guys go, but
thank you, man.
Seriously, what you do for people is awesome. Just everything you do, you just the education that you give. The support, the love, the understanding, it really means a lot. You're a great, great guy. So I don't know if I ever told you that, but really, you do a lot of good for a lot of people.
Coming from you, man, that really means a lot because I know you don't like anybody. So you know,
I don't like anyone.
Yeah.
I like you.
Chauncey Hayden, man, thank you so much. And we'll talk soon. I'm going to be in New York soon, so you know maybe we could all hang out.
Sapphire. Okay.
Yeah, all right. Okay, man, take it easy.
All right, bye.
All right. Andrew.
Yes, sir.
You still there. Guys, I actually have lines open if you want to call. I know there's one guy that's been trying to call in and getting a busy signal. It's 888-659-3727. Feel free to call the show, 888-659-3727. We're not going to be live on Facebook for too much longer. So when we switch over, just know that we are live on theballtruth.com, guysfromqueens.com. And obviously you can go to like Daily Motion. You can listen to us on iTunes Radio, Stitcher Radio. Where else, Andrew?
iTunes Radio, TuneIn.
TuneIn?
Yeah, the hundreds and hundreds of sites. If you have a if you listen to internet radio and you have a there's a directory for GFP Network.
Oh, and by the way, guys, I want to thank you guys. I mean, 2 weeks ago we were live. We had 109,000 total views through all the resources. Hopefully, with these seven people watching on Facebook, we can up that number tonight. 888-659-3727. Andrew, I'm sure you got to deal with the baby. Shall I let you go?
Yeah, I got to go. No, the baby's sleeping, but I got to go.
Okay. All right, man. Listen, thanks for hanging out.
All right, guys. Have a
All
good
right.
Show.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye. 888-659-3727. Let's see who this is. Hey, man, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
This is Mike Furco from Hassan and Wong Hair Restoration in Seattle, Washington.
How are you, sir? What's happening?
I'm excellent. How are you doing? First of all, yeah. I'm going to say, saying Bruce Willis looks good without hair is saying like Cindy Crawford looks good as a man.
Well, I mean, he looks pretty good. Come on, dude.
He actually said it on a talk show that he wants his hair back.
Yeah. Well, no, I could definitely say it. And I have to tell you, Cindy Crawford would probably look good as a man.
Okay. I got to keep it short here. I got to go to dinner. I'm in San Francisco a couple weeks for work. And I'm at a bar having some cocktails watching a Golden State game. And I leave to go to the hotel to eat in my room. And a hooker stops me saying, hey, handsome. You know, she throws out a price. And I'm thank you, no thank you. And I go to my room, take the hairpiece off. And there's no room service. So I got to go get something to eat. And I decided, well, you know what? I'm going to go all bald. So I walk by. And guess who's standing there? The hooker.
Yeah.
And she won't say a damn thing to me.
You can't even pay for it without your hair.
No, hair matters. That's all I got to say.
Dude, we know that it does. You've been in the business for a long time, and you've been dealing with hair loss for a long time. So you got to go to dinner now?
Yeah. I actually stopped and talked to her, and I said, you don't remember me. She says, no. I said, you talked to me 5 minutes ago. I walked by, and she says, where's your hair?
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't have nothing to do with me without the hair.
That's funny, man. I had Joe. Joe's trying to talk. I had him potted down the entire time. Say hi to Mike, Joe.
Oh, thanks. Okay, so here I am talking. He's not getting out. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Joseph. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
You just
Thank
said you. The feed died. Can you not see the feed now, Mike?
I can see the feed now, but okay. You guys, your lips aren't moving. They're talking. It's just not matching up.
Fucking... Are you watching on Facebook or are you watching on the Bald Truth?
I'm now on Bald Truth right now.
Wow. You may have to refresh the page, but you got to go anyway, so.
Okay. All right. Love
All right,
you
dude. All right, man.
See you,
Take
buddy.
Care.